That's perfect, Ruby. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. I hope you're ready to put your shorts on this week. It's going to be hot. Hot, hot, hot. Stay inside. Well, go out early in the morning. Take the afternoons off. We'll pretend we're going to have siestas all week. Just a few announcements. We got this in the mail. This is becoming, I think, a yearly event. The Delray Christian Church and JJ's Restaurant in Delhi are doing a fundraiser for the food banks in the area. So this will be September 16th. That's a Saturday, 10 a.m. It starts, music starts at 11. They've got four groups. It looks like it's going to go till about 3 o'clock or so, anyhow, at least. There's no admission. They're just asking you to bring some non-perishable food items or a free will offering if you don't feel like going to the grocery store. And they're going to use that, all those goods that are donated and the money, and they're going to support the local food bank. So, four bluegrass bands, one bluegrass and gospel. Anyhow, it's going to be a Central Hampshire Park, which is off Route 50 behind the Augusta Fire Department. So September 16th for that. And I'll post that in the back for us. Another great way to support our community. Other announcements, you'll see there's no Bible study tomorrow for the holiday. No prayer meeting this Thursday as we're getting ready for the yard giveaway and soup sale. So there will be some stuff going on Thursday. So take a look at your bulletin, or if you have your newsletter at home, look through there. You'll see all the information about things that are taking place this week as we prepare for the yard giveaway and soup sale. You can bring in stuff Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday between 6 and 8. Someone will be here at church for that. Of course, if you're coming in to help chop vegetables or cook ham or do any of that stuff, you could bring stuff in there. Well, maybe not cooking ham, because that'll be Friday morning. But aren't they cutting vegetables Wednesday? Wednesday. So if you're coming to do vegetables, you can bring it in then also. If you happen to bring your stuff today, like I did, you can unload it after church and put it over there. You'll see there's already some stuff over there. I think that's all I have for announcements. For the praise list, we're just praising the Lord that Charlie had some safety as he kind of had he passed out a couple of times. I won't tell you how many times, but he passed out a couple of times. and one was when he was driving down 259. And so it just lasted a couple of seconds, but we're just praising the Lord for protection for Charlie as he kept him safe in the midst of that situation. So, but be praying for Charlie. He's got to go through, he's went through some testing, may have to have some medical procedures. I think they're going to put a halter monitor on his heart for a week or something. So just be praying for him. He may need a pacemaker. We'll see. Anyway, just be praying for him. The doctors would know. You'll see the other ones on here. I don't think there's really anything new. We're still, praying for the students that just went back. Praying for Daniel Moore as he gets settled in. I heard that maybe after Labor Day he'll be permanently moved into his apartment that he's going to be at. So that would be good to have a place of his own. That'll be great for him. Jerry is getting stronger, so that's a report from Jeannie. That's a huge praise. Be praying that she'd sleep through the night. At her age and with her condition, she often wakes up in the middle of the night and stays awake, which, of course, is difficult on the rest of Gail's family. So I'd be praying for Jerry that she'd be sleeping through the night. You might think, well, why would I pray that? It says in Scripture that sleep comes from the Lord. The Lord is the giver of sleep. So let's pray to the Lord to give Jerry that. For my dad, the neurosurgeon was pretty shocked that he's not really recovering or bouncing back the way he thought he would. So he's going to try to hook him up with a rehabilitation specialist that deals in just brain injuries, and see if they could evaluate him and see if there's certain exercises he could be doing to try to see if his he could make more progress. So that'll be sometime in September, so pray for him. He's doing well. He's comfortable where he is and, making lots of friends where he is, so he knows everyone. So anyway, but be praying for him, because I'm sure we had a discussion about if he did recover enough where he could be home but not really do anything, like not walk downtown, he's not going to drive, would he want to come home and just be in the house by himself all day? So, as he thinks about things like that, be praying for him to know what's good for him and wise. That's all I have for prayer requests. Does anybody else have anything that didn't make the bulletin this week?
Mike, I would like to add with yard sale, all the yards have been washed.
Okay. Okay, you guys all got that? So yeah, just if they need helpers to sign up like for that 6 to 8 time frame to bring stuff in. So if you want to sign up for, you'll be here during those times, that'd be helpful. If you don't want to sign up, you just want to show up, that's fine too. Just show up and you can help whoever's already here. All right, so Liz is saying thank you for the birthday wishes. Now you just need to come to Sunday school so we can sing happy birthday to you. Just saying. All right. Okay, one last thing. So we've got our logos done. We have a silkscreen logo already prepared. I think it's ready to go at the store. I got to stop in and see if they've actually got the silkscreens cut out yet. And we just got our embroidery logo approved, and so we have both of those ready to go. So we're starting to put an order together. To that end, the magazine or order book is in the back with some individual order forms. We've marked out a few pages that have standard t-shirts, but there's also sweatshirts in there, there's aprons in the back, there's other things. So if you want to pick out something and write your order up, and then we'll, once we get 11 items going, we can run to the silkscreen. You'll see you can choose silkscreen or embroidery. We think a t-shirt's going to be around $15, sweatshirts maybe $25. If you get a silkscreen shirt, it's going to be probably closer to $50 because, well, depending on if you buy a nicer shirt to put the embroidery is going to be $17 just by itself. So, oh, I'm sorry. Did I say silkscreen? I'm an embroidery. Thank you. Yeah. If you get the embroidery, it's going to be more expensive because just the embroidery, I think, is $17. The good thing is if you have a shirt at home that you want embroidered, then your shirt's only going to cost you $17 because you already own it, right? So, yeah. So you can
find it on clearance at Kohl's.
Yeah. Because, yeah, for the, you can just take a shirt in and just get it embroidered. So, all right. So the order forms are back there. I would love to. Yeah, they don't want to break the ink out unless they're doing at least 11 items. All right, so the silkscreen stuff, we have to have an order of at least 11. All right, so take a look at the magazine after church, or we'll have that magazine available at the yard sale, so anybody's coming to hang out there, you can look through it then too and put in your order form. That'd be great. We would like to try to get an order in, you know, by the middle of September. All right, well, let's take a moment now to just quiet our hearts before the Lord. Again, you know, reminding yourselves that the Lord calls you to worship and to come into His presence just as you are. You don't have to leave anything behind, right? You can come just as you are and who you are and come before Him, repenting of your sins and believing that the gospel saves. There's always one candle that doesn't want to cooperate, and that's okay. Let's stand together as the Lord calls us to worship. Again, the Lord is great and majestic and yet humble. He came as a baby, right, to live among us and to remind us of the love that God has for us. So hear his call from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence, we do long to come into your throne room with great rejoicing. Rejoicing over the announcement of the gospel that Jesus saves. The announcement of the gospel message that Jesus came to save sinners. The announcement of the gospel message that Jesus came to save us, the sinners that we are. And so we come into your presence covered by the blood of Christ, rejoicing in his work for our salvation and praising your holy name. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this to be a blessing in your sight, Lord. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 458 as we sing about working for the night is coming. You know, there is a day coming when the Lord will return, and our call for him or from him until then is to work for his kingdom. 458. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 71. So if you're looking for Psalms, just turn to the middle of your Bible. That's probably about where it's going to be. Find Psalm 71, which is kind of in the middle. In verse 17, we're going to pick up there. If you grabbed your pew Bible and you haven't gotten there yet, it's page 573. Psalm 71, beginning at verse 17. This is the word of the Lord, and it says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens, you who have done great things. O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to hurt me. We see here in this psalm the faithfulness of the Lord praised. The psalmist is rejoicing over the faithfulness of the Lord. And in response to the Lord's faithfulness, he longs to proclaim the Lord's goodness to all those who will come, all those that will come after us. Our job, our work to do in the morning and in the evening and in the springtime is to spread the news of the gospel. Something that can only be done after your heart is transformed by the gospel itself. And yet when your heart is transformed, you will long to share the gospel with others. Thanks be to the Lord. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Again, a Lord who loves us. A Lord who has been faithfully answering prayers for us. And when we go to Him, we know that He hears us. How do we know? Because He has been answering and we've been able to see it. So let's go to the Lord with prayer today together. Father God, again, we rejoice to be able to come into Your presence, to be able to boldly come into the throne room, covered by the blood of Christ, Lord. So that the dirt of our sin is covered with the whiteness of the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ. Lord, you don't see us as sinners, you see us as saints and call us that in your word. So often that news is welcoming but yet shocking. That you, Lord, would call us into your presence and call us saints. And so we rejoice, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We rejoice for your forgiveness for us. We rejoice, Lord, over your promise that one day that you will come again and our work will be over and we will enter your rest. Thank you for that promise, Lord. Thank you for the promise that we read of in Philippians this morning, that the work that you've begun in us, you will complete. You will keep it going until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we would ask that you would continue to sanctify us, to mold us into the image of Christ, that continue to transform our hearts so that we rejoice and share the good news of the gospel with those around us. Lord, make this place a beacon on a hill that shines the light of the gospel in a way that's winsome, that those that would hear of it would long to know you. Lord, we praise you for a protection for Charlie this past week, and just the way that you were able to be with him and keep that vehicle on the road and get him home safely. And Lord, we praise you that the doctors were able to pretty quickly start to ascertain what the problem is and even discuss maybe some ways to try to alleviate the problem. Lord, we know that there are difficulties I've had, but we pray that as the doctors do testing, that they be able to come to a conclusion of how to keep Charlie from passing out again. Lord, we thank you for those that are able to care for him and take him places and bring him to church. Lord, it is a blessing when we bear one another's burdens, and so we thank you for those that are able to do that. Lord, we thank you for birthdays and just the faithfulness that you show year after year to bring us safely through the seasons and again celebrate life. And so, Lord, we know that there's lots of birthdays between now and the end of the year. Lord, we just praise you for those birthdays, and we just ask that it would be a great reminder for us as we send cards and for us as we celebrate our own birthdays, Lord, that you are constantly faithful to us, protecting us and carrying us along year by year. Lord, we think of the students who have now spent maybe a week or two back at school, some a little longer, some are just starting back soon. Lord, those first couple days can be trying and frustrating and so overwhelming. Lord, those are the words we've heard people utter, and so we just pray that you would carry these students along day by day, moment by moment, to get their work done and to begin to understand the new norm for them and help them to understand their teachers. Help them to make friendships, Lord, with the students that they're with, so that they would, under a common experience, Lord, grow a bond of love for one another that would last a lifetime. Lord, we are created not to be alone, but to be in relationship with others. And so we pray that the relationships that people make, whether they're in grade school or in college, would be relationships that would last and that would be encouraging and that would be helpful. Lord, as a church, we're small, and yet, Lord, we long to do big things for you. And so we pray that you would increase our influence in the world through giving, through letters, through cards, through encouraging words, through sharing the gospel with our neighbors and friends and people we meet on the street. Lord, we want to see our influence grow, not so that our fame can grow, but so that your fame can grow. And so we would ask that your Spirit would so invigorate us that it would bubble out into our community and into the world, that we would see you doing great things in our families, in our community, in our nation, and in the world. You know you are doing those things, Lord. We need to have eyes to see them. And so we would ask that you would give us opportunity to hear from those who are seeing you do great things. Lord, let our neighbors speak to us of your goodness. And let us speak to our neighbors of your goodness, that together we would be encouraged. And Lord, we're going to be giving away some stuff and selling some soup pretty soon. And so Lord, we would ask that we would have opportunity to share the gospel when people come in. That we would have opportunity to invite them to church if they don't have a church when they come in. That we would be able to have opportunity, Lord, to find out if they have any burdens that need to be prayed about so that we can pray for them right then. Lord, we just ask for your hands and your feet to be at work in us and through us during this upcoming giveaway and sale. And Lord, we pray that the funds that we would collect would be used wisely by Samaritan Purse in Hawaii. Lord, we know there is still much struggle over all the devastation there. And so we pray as Samaritan Purse goes in, Lord, that they too would be able to offer the gospel of Christ, encourage people to come into the church and pray for them, Lord. Listen to their hurt and pray for them. And all these things, we wait to hear stories of your goodness and of this work of the gospel in the hearts of people, both here and afar. All this we ask in the precious name of Jesus, that he would be glorified and that his name would be the name above all names. Lord, we know it is. Make it here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's join our hearts together reciting the Lord's Prayer again. There were those that came before us, right? Teaching us the gospel, teaching us the goodness of the Lord's Prayer. And our work is to teach the next generation the same, because we are united under one faith. And so we pray the prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 446. We're just praying that the Lord would save, right? That the gospel would go out and that people would be able to come and to rejoice over the good news that Jesus saves sinners. So let's sing that now as a prayer. 446, Jesus Saved. You can remain seated. Jesus does save, Jesus has saved, Jesus will save. What a great reason to be a thankful and cheerful giver. Giving back just a portion of what the Lord has given you as he saved you. And we're just going to give a portion back to him. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward this morning and accept our offering. Again, a chance to be a thankful person, thankful for the gospel that Jesus saves. Doxology. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we do praise you for working out the plan of redemption for us and giving us the things that we need to live and to thrive and to do good work in your kingdom. Lord, this is your work, and so we give this portion to you to do your work, and we ask that you would let us be a part of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I'm hoping you're all singing that this afternoon on your way to lunch. Victory in Jesus. Well, we're still in the book of Acts as we talk about Saul, who we also know as Paul. Again, two names, a Roman name and a Hebrew name. Both names given to him at his birth. We're in Acts chapter 9 today. We're going to look at the second kind of part of chapter 9. So we'll begin at verse 19. If you want to go to your pew Bible, it's page 1090. If you're in your own Bible, just work your way through the Gospels, find Acts chapter 9. You'll see that the title for today's sermon is Paul the Proclaimer. Right? Now, Paul is converted right on the road to Damascus, and during this conversion experience, it changes him, drastically changes him into a proclaimer of the gospel instead of a destroyer of those that would believe in Jesus. And so I have a question for you this morning, since we're going to be talking about sharing the gospel and the effect that it had on Saul. Right? When's the last time you shared your faith with someone? Well, when's the last time you shared your faith with someone? Told them how excited you are to go to church on Sunday. Hopefully you're excited to go to church on Sunday. And hopefully you're willing to tell people about that. When's the last time you've actually done that? Invited someone to get to know Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now, if it's been a while, you're not alone. Right? If it's been a while, you're not actually alone. Tim Keller, who passed away just recently, he wrote an article in 2019 in the Gospel Coalition. He says this, "Over the past two decades, there has been a steady increase in the number of Americans who say they are atheist, agnostic, religiously unaffiliated, or believe nothing in particular. Each generation, from Generation X to Millennials to Gen Z, is significantly less religious and less church-going than the generation before." We know that already, right? It says, this should mean that Christians are talking more to their neighbors, colleagues, and friends about the reasons they believe, but that isn't happening. A recent study commissioned by Lutheran Hour Ministries found that since 1993, the number of Christians who said, "I believe every Christian has a responsibility to share their faith," and the number who said they'd speak to others about the benefits of becoming a Christian has dropped dramatically. So at a moment when there is more need for evangelism than ever, sharing the good news about Jesus, right, there is less willingness to actually do it. I bring this up because we see the exact opposite in the life of Saul this morning. Right? He's a persecutor of the gospel. He's dramatically transformed on the road to Damascus. I mean, he encounters Jesus. He's converted. He's baptized. He's brought into the family of God. Now, that all didn't happen instantaneously, right? It took some time. But he doesn't keep the good news to himself. He doesn't keep the good news to himself. And we'll see in a minute that we're told he immediately began to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God. Right? In the text this morning, what I want us to really think about is the power that brought him personal salvation had public implications. Right? For Saul, this personal encounter with Jesus had some public implications. And so let's pray that the Lord would show us that in the text, this public implication of our faith, and that would encourage us to share the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we see Saul dramatically changed and proclaiming the gospel immediately here in this text. We read story after story. We experience the lack of faith in our neighbors and friends. We know, Lord, that numbers in churches are often dwindling. And yet, Lord, our voices remain silent. And so we would just ask that you would encourage us to let our personal faith have public implications, Lord, so that the gospel would go out in a powerful way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your Bible. Again, Acts chapter 9. We're going to read verses 19 through 31. The Lord's Word is here. It's useful for teaching and reproof, and everything good is trustworthy. Verse 19 says, "For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' And all who heard him were amazed and said, 'Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through the opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied." The power that brings personal salvation has public implications. You can't keep the good news to yourself. You can't keep the good news of the gospel to yourself. I love that the text tells us that he immediately began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. No hesitation, no lag time. Right? His encounter so convinced him of the truth of the gospel, it so changed him and transformed him, he had to let others know. Right? There was a burning desire in him now to let others know. That's not the way we see things, right? I mean, you've all heard of the three things you're never supposed to talk about, right, in company, right? It's money, religion, and politics. Right? Never talk about those three things. The idea is polite people don't discuss those things. And of course we know why, because they always bring up controversy. Right? They always bring up controversy. So don't talk about those things. Have you ever considered that maybe that's not really the truth about why we shouldn't talk about politics and money and religion? At least religion. Okay, maybe politics and money. You know, nobody wants to talk about how much they make. And politics right now, it's almost impossible to talk to anybody about those things. I shouldn't say that. I've had some good conversations lately with people I disagree with that went fine. But have you ever thought that the real reason that people tell you not to talk about religion is because Satan doesn't want us talking about religion? Have you ever thought about that? Right? Who has the most to gain from people not talking about religion? The enemy. The enemy, the devil, he has the most to gain. And he certainly doesn't want us sharing the good news of the gospel with those around us. Don't buy his lie. Don't buy his lie. When the gospel converts you, yes, it's a personal conversion, but it does have public implications. Each of us is called to share the gospel with those around us. Share our own personal experience with Jesus, with those around us. I mean, think about Chuck Colson from last week's sermon. Yes, he was converted personally, but what if he kept that to himself? I mean, that's his whole story, his whole life would have been completely different. What if Saul tried to keep his experience on the Damascus Road to himself? His experiences in faith, our knowledge of who he is, all of these letters that he wrote. None of that stuff would be here, right? The power that brings personal faith has public implications for each of us. How is your faith this morning? Is it only public? I mean, only private? Only personal? Or is it public? Do people know you're a Christian? I've been thinking about that. You know, there's times when I'm out, people are like, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. You know what I mean? No, I should be excited. I'm a pastor. I got this great church up in West Virginia, right? Is our faith public? Do people know that we're Christians? Do they know how much the gospel means to us? Right? That the gospel is something that saves us from our sins. Do they know that? Have you ever stopped to consider how important the church is to your spiritual life? That the fellowship of believers, right? The bearing of one another's burdens is super important for us. When you find a neighbor or a friend struggling spiritually, are you inviting them to meet Jesus? Are you inviting them to church? Are you pointing them to the scriptures? Now, listen, the church will benefit from having more people in it, right? But you should be inviting them, not so that we can have more numbers. You should be inviting your friends so that they can meet Jesus, right? So that they can know the gospel. You should be talking to them about religion. Don't buy the enemy's lie. The power that brings personal salvation has public implications. You can't keep the gospel to yourself. And you can't minister by yourself either. You can't minister by yourself either. Right? So not only should you be sharing the gospel, but you should be sharing the gospel with others. Now, there's two things going on here in the text. First, we see the disciples are scared to let Saul into their fellowship. And that makes sense to us, doesn't it? I mean, Ananias was scared when he was told to go and heal Saul. I mean, he's been arresting people who believe in Jesus. But that idea of being scared didn't stop with the New Testament church. Or Ananias. Now, I would say to you that every church today struggles when someone new comes into the fellowship. Right? Whether it's fear of losing your own place in the fellowship or a misunderstanding of what it means to accept new people or just social cliques. Many churches have social cliques. I'm glad we don't have any here, right? We have to fight people in general. Have to fight to be inviting. Right? We have to remind ourselves to be inviting. We have to fight the urge to keep things the same. We have to fight the urge to stay in our comfort zone and let new people come in and join our fellowship. In Saul's case, it took Barnabas, right? Barnabas had to actually like vouch for him and bring him in. Only then did the other disciples accept him. I thought it was interesting, we're not even told here, how does Barnabas know all this stuff? Like, has he been talking to Paul? Did the New Testament believers in Damascus, did they send a letter saying, hey, never guess what happened? Right? Did somebody come and give a message to Barnabas? Somehow Barnabas knows all this. Maybe he's heard rumors and he did some research on his own. Either way, Barnabas vouches for Saul, telling the others how Saul had been spreading the news of the power of the gospel, telling people, convincing them, confounding the other Jews, showing them that Jesus is the Son of God. The power of the gospel had enough power to change the worst enemy of the church at the time into a disciple. Right, the worst enemy of the church at the time into a disciple. You may know what Barnabas' name means if you look it up. It means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Boy, he's just acting his name out there, isn't he? Encouraging the disciples to accept Saul. Encouraging Saul to come to the disciples. You know, as hard as it can be to accept someone new into the fellowship, have you ever thought, maybe it's hard for new people to break into a fellowship too. They're maybe just as nervous when they come. Saul's no dummy here. Every time he looks into a disciple's eyes, what does he see? Fear and distrust. Right? That's who he was. And he knows that they're afraid of him and they're not very trusting initially. No one is meant to be an island in the family of God, though, and Barnabas knows that. He knows that Saul can't minister by himself. He knows that the church needs Saul to be part of the way. Right? He has heard the call from someone that Paul was told he's going to do great things for Jesus. Ministry in the kingdom of God is a community activity. It's not meant to be done alone. And just like some of us need encouragement to let people into the fellowship, some of us need to be encouraged to not do so much on our own as well. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you want breakfast, I'm guessing most of you, maybe not all of you, but most of you, could probably make your way into the kitchen, find the eggs and the toast and the butter, and make yourself breakfast. But what if you had to do something harder, like build a fence? You know, you've got this 16-foot-long board, and you have to hang it on 3 fence posts, all 8 feet apart. You'd have to have help, right? Well, maybe not. I mean, you could cut off a 10-inch piece of board from scrap and tack it to the middle fence post and balance that 16-foot board on the middle fence post and then carefully walk down and nail one end in and then the other end in and then take the scrape away and voila, you've done the board all by yourself. Necessity, after all, is the mother of invention, right? You can do that. Some of us are great at coming up with all sorts of ways to do ministry by ourselves. Right? Are you one of them? I can be. Ask anyone. I can do lots of stuff by myself. Barnabas is letting us know that ministry is not meant to be done on our own, even when we might be able to. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some things that you're going to have to do on your own. There are some times when you're going to have to do ministry for the church on your own. That's just the way it works. What I am saying, though, is that the Christian life is not meant to be lived entirely doing things on your own. We need more people like Barnabas, right, to encourage us, to teach us that we need each other, remind us that we need each other, to help us get along with one another, to show us that ministry is better when we do it together. Because then not just the ones that we're ministering to are blessed, but we're blessed with fellowship as well. Yes, the power of God comes in a very personal way to change you, to bring you salvation, but it has very public, very communal implications. Now, there's something else going on in here. It was in the middle. I skipped over it. You know, when we're inviting new people in, when we're accepting new people, when new people are coming, you know, there's always a danger there. There's always a danger that letting someone new will disrupt things in a bad way. I mean, listen, the wheat and the tares are going to grow together, right? The wicked and the righteous are always going to be here until Christ comes. And so we also have to remember here, you see that it was okay to protect Paul when he needed protection. He didn't have to stay and fight a losing battle. He could escape. Sometimes, when the enemy comes, right, when darkness seems to be on the horizon and the enemy is going to attack, which of course the enemy does sometimes very subtly, right, very quietly, hiding in the darkness. And I think that's very difficult in those instances to be protective, right, because we want to be inviting as much as we can. Sometimes, though, the enemy is attacking loudly, right? Out in the open. And when that's happening, we should be ready to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves, to proclaim the gospel in a bold way, maybe to retreat, right? And take our stance somewhere else. We should always be on the lookout for the attacks of the devil. Matthew 10, Jesus says this. He says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So, be wise as serpents." Oh, there's an "and" here. "And innocent as doves." You see, that even Jesus is saying there's a tension there. Be innocent of doves. Be as inviting as you can be. But at the same time, be as wise as a serpent. Now, be ready for the attacks of the devil. Paul wanted everyone to know the gospel. Right? Meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus convinced him that Jesus was the Son of God. But when it became obvious that the Jews in Damascus were going to kill him, they put him in a basket and lowered him out through the window in the wall so he could escape. Well, why is this important? How can this passage help us grow this morning? Well, first of all, you know, when the gospel comes, it will transform lives. And those transformed lives must lead to a public display of faith. Now, not an arrogant, you know, mean-spirited, Bible-thumping faith, but a gentle, bold, faithful proclamation that the gospel saves. My faith, your faith, has public implications whether we want it to have or not. You know, in that article that Tim Keller wrote, he goes on to say, there are at least three major reasons for evangelistic unfruitfulness. First of all, there's a lack of sensitivity, which must be countered by the humility that comes from knowing we are undeserving sinners. Again, our proclamation of the gospel needs to be humble, right? Knowing that we too are saved by grace. There's nothing in us. So we saw the Apostle Paul in Philippians this morning, identifying himself with the church in Philippi, saying, I am a servant of Christ. Right? Humble. Second, there's a lack of courage, which Tim Keller says must be countered by the boldness that comes from knowing we are unconditionally loved. You know, once you realize God loved you as a sinner, and now you're saved by grace, it gives you a boldness to know that that nothing you can do can separate you from the love that is in Christ. Finally, there is indifference, and I think he maybe kind of was honing in on this one. He said, we look around us and see people struggling to find meaning, satisfaction, hope, confidence. Right? The biggest reason we keep our mouths shut is that we're failing in love for them. Pretty strong exhortation there. We're failing in our love for our neighbor. The problem, he says, is ultimately in our hearts, not in our lack of training. Because that's what we'll say. I can't share the gospel. I don't know how. I can't share the gospel. I can't answer this question. I can't share the gospel. I don't know whatever. He says it's not in our lack of training or knowing how to answer all the questions. The problem is ultimately in our heart. And he points to John chapter 4. Remember, this is the woman from Samaria that Jesus meets at the well. It says in John chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. The woman who had no training in evangelism. She just met Jesus a couple of minutes ago. But Jesus had changed her with his mercy, and now she didn't need to care what people thought. Come, she said, see a man who knew all my failures and still loved me. That's the gospel, right? And they came and they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Paul's personal proclamation here of how the gospel changed him was publicly powerful. So publicly powerful that the Jews sought to kill him. Right, to shut them up, because it was fighting against the lies of the devil. Your personal faith, your testimony, your story of how Jesus has saved you and changed you, that's powerful too. You might not think it is, but it is just as powerful as Paul's. Keller ends his article with this. It's a great exhortation. It says, may the Lord change our hearts so that we have a love for our sorrowing, perishing friends that will fuel our bold yet humble witness to the grace that can only be found in Jesus. Right? May we, like Paul, be public proclaimers of the faith. Why? Because Jesus is great, and he's transformed us from sinners into saints. Let's pray. Lord, you have changed us from sinners to saints that are saved by grace. You've done it openly and publicly, and yet, Lord, we are often quiet, almost embarrassed, Lord, to share our faith with those around us. We pray that that would not be so, that we would have the boldness of the apostle, Lord, and the courage given by the Spirit to not be silent, but to tell others that Jesus saves. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. Let's stand together, take your hymnal, and turn to hymn number 289. Again, as we're trusting in Jesus to do the work of spreading the gospel, using us, doing it through us, we'll sing this. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, 289. I would encourage you to trust in the grace of Jesus, to share your testimony with those around you that are perishing without Christ, so that they too would be able to rejoice in his name. Now hear the Lord's blessing. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.